Hi, everybody. This is Ernie Harwell with Joe Garagiola. Welcome to the 1963 World Series fourth game, brought to you by
Chrysler Corporation, makers of the new 1964 Plymouth, Chrysler, the Imperial, Dodge, and Dodge Truck. Today, your host is Plymouth.
And by Gillette, maker of the Gillette Slim Adjustable Razor and remarkable Super Blue Blade. Extra rich, foamy instant lather. Convenient Right Guard Power Spray Deodorant. And new Sun Up Aftershave for that top of the morning feeling. In appreciation of your continued support, Chrysler and Gillette also bring you the annual Blue Gray football game and the 1964 Rose Bowl game exclusively on NBC. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball, solely for the entertainment of our listening audience, and any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. The two starting pitchers already have begun to warm up. Whitey Ford, representing the New York Yankees, came out about 3 or 4 minutes ago, and Sandy Koufax, who will be on the mound for Los Angeles, has just begun his warm-up costume. And on this bright, sunny afternoon in Southern California, one large question confronts all of baseball. Will this fourth game of the 1963 World Series be the final game of the series? Or to put it another way, can the Dodgers win today and end the Yankee domination of World Series history? Since 1922, the New York Yankees have dominated the series. Six times they've swept through their National League opposition in four straight games. But today they are finding out how the other half is felt all this time as they come into the fourth game with a deficit of no victories and three defeats. The Yanks realize that no World Series team has ever rallied from an 0-3 deficit and gone on to win the championship. However, the New Yorkers also know that never has a Yankee team been swept out of a series in four straight. They lost the 22 series in five games, and there was one tie in that one. And in 1942, after the Yankees won the first game, the Cards took the next four. But a Yankee team has never stared at the kind of defeat that this 1963 edition would face if the Dodgers win here this afternoon. Certainly the Dodger fans are looking forward to their heroes breaking the Yankee domination of this afternoon, but the Yankees have a habit, as you know, of winning crucial games. And today, manager Ralph Houk has nominated the all-time World Series winner, the left-hander Whitey Ford, to keep the New Yorkers in business. Pitching for the Dodgers will be Sandy Koufax, the stylish left-hander who beat Ford in the first game when he set a new World Series record in strikeouts. So this will be a rematch of the starting pitchers of game number one. Koufax, during the regular season, won 25 and lost 5. A hard-throwing left-hander with a fine overhand curveball. Whitey Ford, during the regular season, won 24 and lost 7. He has more variety of stuff than his pitching rival and, of course, has a great deal more experience. Koufax in the series has won one and lost one. In his series history, he lost to the White Sox in the fifth game of the 1959 World Series, and then he beat the Yankees 5-2 in the first game of this current series. Whitey Ford has a 10-6 record in series competition, and he is 3-3 with one no decision in seven series starts against the Dodgers. Whitey has won at least one game in seven of his previous nine series, failing to win only in 1953 and 1958. The weather is great again, no question about it. A little warmer, I believe, than it was here at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles yesterday afternoon. But it couldn't be any better, and we've got another capacity crowd on hand to watch these two World Series rivals go at it in Los Angeles. The lineup, there are a couple of changes in the New York lineup. Manager Ralph Houk will use Hector Lopez, his very fine utility man and a right-hand batter, in right field. Roger Maris dressed for action today, but he is not in the starting lineup. And manager Walt Austin of Los Angeles is using Frank Howard, the big right-hand batting right fielder, in right, replacing the left-hand hitting Ron Fairley. The lineup in their entirety will go this way. For the visiting New York Yankees, it'll be Tony Kubek leading off, and he'll be at shortstop. That's Kubek at shortstop. Batting second and playing second base, the veteran Bobby Richardson. Richardson will be at second base. The number three hitter for New York is Tom Tresh, the switch-hitting left fielder. Tresh in left. Mickey Mantle, the cleanup man, he's in center field. That's Mantle batting number four and playing in center. Elston Howard, the number five hitter, he is the catcher. Howard is catching. Then it's Hector Lopez in right field. Lopez is in right. He's followed by Joe Pepitone, the first baseman, and the number seven batter. Pepitone is at first base. Then it's Cleet Boya batting number eight and playing third. Boya at third base, followed by the Yankee pitcher, Whitey Ford. For the Los Angeles Dodgers, Maury Wills will be at shortstop, and he'll lead off. Jim Gilliam will bat number two. That's Gilliam at third base, batting second. Willie Davis in center field, hitting number three for the Dodgers. Davis in center. Tommy Davis is the left fielder and the cleanup hitter. Tommy Davis in left. Frank Howard, the right fielder, bats number five. Howard is in right. Then the former Yankee, the Dodger first baseman, Bill Scarron, is the number six hitter. That's Scarron at first base. Bill is followed by the catcher, John Roseborough. Roseborough is catching and batting number seven. Dick Krzyzewski batting number eight, and he's playing second base. Krzyzewski at second base. And on the mound will be the left-hander, Sandy Koufax. He'll be batting number nine. The fourth game of the 1963 World Series is being brought to you from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles.
Get up and go, Plymouth, sister. Go, go, Plymouth. Put your foot down on the floor. You'll never know driving till you go out driving in the Plymouth 64. You thought you knew beauty till a brand new beauty came to town to show you more. And when you're not out parking, you will find her parking in the driveway by your door. Get up and go, Plymouth, get to know Plymouth, try a Plymouth 64. Get up and go, Plymouth, sister, go, go, Plymouth, from the very day you do. We've got to get up and go, cause Mr. and No are gonna get up and go, like a Plymouth will go, when it's get up and going for you.
The Get Up and Go Plymouth for 64 is on display now. Be sure to see it at your nearest Plymouth dealer showroom. You'll be glad you did.
The color guard has made its way toward the center field area. The two pitchers are still warming up down below us, and in just a moment or so, we'll be having our national anthem. It'll be sung this afternoon by Eddie Fisher. The Dodgers with a 3-0 lead over the New York Yankees here in the fourth game of the World Series as the Yankees try to salvage a victory. And the Yankees depending on their veteran left-hander Whitey Ford. Sandy Koufax coming back for his second turn and trying to win his second victory of the series. By the way, the official scorers in the World Series are Lou Hatter of Baltimore, Frank Finch of Los Angeles, and Len Schechter of New York. They vote on various decisions on scoring plays. In fact, yesterday they had one play, the ball hit to Richardson, where there was a split vote. Generally, they are unanimous on their decisions, but sometimes they have to vote, and that happened yesterday on the ball hit to Richardson. Koufax, you remember, struck out 15 in the first game. And will have a chance to set a World Series record if he can come up with another big strikeout effort here this afternoon. The umpires are now making their way through the gate, which is right behind home plate, for the pregame conference with the two managers, Walt Austin and Ralph Houk. Managers coming out with their batting orders to exchange. And the umpires and the managers to go over once again the ground rules here at Dodger Stadium. We're happy to be here to bring this one to you as another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation. The Yankee bullpen group is headed down now to the bullpen, hoping that they won't be needed for activity this afternoon. And we're awaiting, in a moment, the announcement of the national anthem. The umpiring conference is breaking up down below. The two managers head back to their respective dugouts. The Yankee dugout on the first base side here in Dodger Stadium, and the Dodger dugout on the third base side. Shag Crawford will umpire behind the plate. Paparella, Gorman, and Knapp will be on the bases. Benzon and Rice will be down the two foul lines. Now here's the announcement by PA man John Ramsey here at Dodger Stadium. In position, the Dodgers as yet have not taken their defensive positions. They'll be breaking out of that dugout momentarily now. Sandy Koufax has quite a record here in this ballpark. He's won 11 and lost 1 in 1963 in this park. Tough man anywhere, but has been especially tough in Dodger Stadium. Championship teams from Sandlot Baseball here and the American Legion champions. They have the battery out there. Some of the toss the ball to his catcher, and that ceremony has been concluded. And now we expect to see the Dodgers come out of the dugout any moment.
The leading hitter in this World Series right now is Tommy Davis, along with Scourin, both hitting at a 500 pace. Davis has the most hits. He has six. Roseborough and Scourin have three RBIs to pace the two teams in that department, although the series as a whole has certainly belonged to the pitchers. The Yankees' leading hitter is Hector Lopez, who is starting in right field this afternoon. Hector has two hits for four trips, and both of those have been doubled. The only man with more than one RBI for the Yankees is Tommy Trash, and he has two. Well, there go the Dodgers to take the lead. They've taken the diamond now, and we pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Get on the ball and mix with the best. Serve world-famous Saratoga Vichy. Saratoga Vichy brings out the best in any highball. Get Saratoga Vichy in the bright yellow label today. WGY Schenectady.
It's the way the National League champions will line up on defense. It'll be Gilliam, Jim Gilliam, at third base. Maury Wills will be at shortstop. Dick Suzuki at second. Bill Scourin stationed at first base. In left field, it's Tommy Davis. Willie Davis is in center field for Los Angeles, and Big Frank Howard is out in right. John Roseborough to do the catching, and Sandy Koufax on the mound, the big left-hander. Once again, we see the story of two fellows who grew up around the New York area, Sandy Koufax against Whitey Ford in a World Series battle. Sandy won the first one in New York in the opening game. Tony Kubak will lead off for the Yankees. It's our pleasure to introduce again Joe Garagiola.
Thank you very much, Ernie. Sandy Koufax against Whitey Ford. Both great pitchers, both with different styles. Koufax with a great fastball, a great curveball, and change of speed. Whitey Ford with about 15 different pitches. Koufax is ready. Kubak waits the first pitch of the ball game. It's a curveball. It's low, and it's ball one. With this background, Koufax coming directly overhanded, it gives you the feeling you might be hitting a little bit uphill. Here's the pitch by Koufax. Swung on and fouled back, and it's one ball and one strike. Koufax's curveball, a big breaking curveball. The fancy name is overhanded curveball. When we used to call it, was a drop. 1-1 pitch. Swung on. Foul tip, strike two. One ball, two strikes. Looks like Kubek is just intent on trying to get the bat on the ball. He's not really swinging hard, trying to spray that ball maybe up the middle or towards left center field. The defense has shifted that way. Tommy Davis in left field guards the line. Willie Davis is over in left center. A lot of room in right center. Here's the 1-2 pitch by Koufax. Foul tip, and it got Shaq Crawford. He fires one out to Koufax. Shaq Crawford of the National League is behind the plate. Joe Paparella of the American League is at first. Tom Gorman, National League, is at second. Larry Knapp, the umpire, at third base from the American League. Here's the 1-2 pitch again by Koufax. Curveball struck him out. Koufax down swinging. In the first game, Koufax struck out twice. Koufax opens the ball game by striking him out, and here is Bobby Richardson. And this little guy was the yardstick that the Yankees used in measuring the ability of Koufax, because Bobby Richardson struck out 22 times all during the American League season. Koufax got him three times in the opening game. Here's the first pitch by Sandy. It's high, and it's ball one. The left field foul line is John Rice of the American League. Down the right field foul line, National League umpire Tony Venzon. Six umpires working as usual during the World Series. Richardson takes it high, and it's outside. It's ball two. Two balls and no strikes. John Roseborough, the catcher, says that Sandy Koufax can really pour that fire. He says that fastball comes on you rather sudden. 2-0 pitches, a fastball right down the middle. And boy, you watch if Koufax throw that fastball or listen to it hit in Roseboro's mitt and then watch a curveball, you can see why ball players run for broadcast booths. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. Right through. High fastball. When Koufax first came up, he was a wild left-hander. He's reared back and fired, and if it stayed in the park, it was a moral victory. But he's been able to contain that stuff, and he can hit that strike zone. Here he comes. Inside, low, and it's ball three. Full count. Talking to a former Dodger great, Dolph Camilli. Boy, is a catcher with this club. Talking about how Koufax was able to keep that speed when he gained his control. Swung on and fouled off. A lot of times when a fellow's a hard thrower and rare back and fire him guy, when he does get control, he has to sacrifice some of that speed in order to get control. But not Koufax. He's really got two speeds, fast and faster. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swung on, popped up. John Roseboro off with the mask. He's got room under the ball, makes the catch. Well, two away, and it brings up Tom Tresh. Fourth game of the 1963 World Series, another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation from Dodger Stadium. This is the big one for the Dodgers. This is the one that you shoot for when you begin spring training. Tresh batting right-handed, takes a curveball strike. One strike, no ball. Koufax, ready. And here's a pitch. Outside, just missed. You can hear that crowd, ooh and ah. Roseboro, crouching down low, low target. Koufax delivers, swung on and missed. Strike two. One ball, two strikes, two outs. Top half of the first inning. Nobody on. Koufax ready. The pitch. Swung on. And struck him out. 1-2-3 for the Yankees in the top half of the first. And so at the middle of the first inning, the score is Yankees nothing, Dodgers nothing.
Can you help me? I'm trying to find out about this Chrysler Certified Car Care Program.
I would jump up in the air with pleasure to.
You are a mechanic?
For sure, harumph and humbug. I am an auto specialist, a technician extraordinaire, a diagnostician with hands like a surgeon and the eye of an eagle.
Yes, but what can this certified car care do for me?
Are you pulling my entire body? It's the Chrysler Motors Car Health Plan, a physical checkup periodically designed to prolong the life of your car and keep it running in pinkety-pink shape with factory parts and equipment, so that you can jaunty jolly on all the turnpikes with a song in your heart and a smile on your speedometer.
Certified Car Care. Chrysler Motors Economical Car Health Plan. Specially trained mechanics using factory-approved parts and equipment. Certified Car Care. By men who sell and service the Plymouth, Dodge, Chrysler, and the Imperial. Take advantage of it.
Elston Howard fires that ball on to second base. Richardson to Koufax to Boyer. Maury Wills gets set. He'll bat right-handed against Whitey Ford. Maury Wills. Boyer shortens up at third base. Kubek and Richardson straight away. The outfield not too deep. And straight away. Whitey Ford. The left-hander's ready. Here's the first pitch to Wills. Wills takes it low and inside. It's ball one. He's shortened up as if to bunt. Ford, a pitcher who has a good fastball, curveball, slider, change of speed, and can get that ball over. Low. Two balls, no strike. Wills takes a look at Reeser. He's pretty much on his own, this little leadoff man. Here's the 2-0 pitch by Whitey. Strike. About that outside corner, and it's 2-1. Whitey Ford, ready. Wills waits the pitch. Swung on and fouled off, out of play, and the count goes 2-2. Ford uses that Satchel Paige theory of pitching, keeping that ball as far away from the bat as possible and in that strike zone. I know it sounds impossible, but that Paige did it all the time, and Ford has done a real good job of it. Not an overpowering type pitcher. As he's often said, I just as soon throw 3 pitches and get 3 outs rather than go for the strikeout. He's a discount house pitcher. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Low just missed, and it's a full count. 3-2. Joe Becker coaching at first base. Pete Reeser coaching at third base. Here's the 3-2 pitch by Whitey Ford. He walked in. And now the battle is on. Whitey Ford with that real good move. Ford with a great move. When you talk about moves to first base for pickoff plays, there'll be Ford, Warren Spahn, a Roger Craig, and Art Mahaffey. They always say that a good move is a half balk move, and one of the best squelches I ever heard, they claim it's a balk, and the umpire said it wasn't, and the guy said, well, at least a half a balk. He said, all right, I'll give him halfway between first and second. Wills leads off. Gilliam waits. There goes Wills. The ball is bunted in the air. Elston Howard makes the play. They've got a double play. Howard flips the peppercorn, and Wills is doubled up. Elston Howard very wisely waited for Pepitone to get back, and it was kind of a little bit of a race between Maury Wills, who did not give up and raced back to the bag, but he was a dead duck as Howard came up with the pop bunt by Gilliam, flipped to Pepitone. It's a double play, and here is Willie Davis. Two men out, nobody on. Willie Davis, the left-hand hitter, and Whitey Ford wants a new baseball.
Pepitone running backwards against Maury Wills running forward.
That'd be something to tell the grandchildren about. He had a little bit of an edge on him, though, I believe, a few feet. Willie Davis waits. Whitey Ford delivers. It's high and it's outside, and it's 4-1. Cleet Boyer at third base, he doesn't trust anybody. He's in tight. He's on the grass. All these Dodgers, boy, they come with the brand new inner soles. They're ready to run. Swung on and foul back. The count 1-1. Whitey Ford gets that new baseball and he rubs it up. You'd be surprised how sensitive those pitchers' fingers are when they get those baseballs. They can feel as if the leather is tighter than others. The seams might be a little bit higher. The stitches maybe not as tight. And they've got to have that ball feel just right. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Curveball goes all the way back to the screen, and it's 2-1. One year when you were talking about the rabbit ball, Tiny Bonham, the late Tiny Bonham, his fingers were so sensitive that he said he could feel the heartbeat of the rabbit. 2-1. Now they want to look at the baseball again. Shags Crawford really getting the workout. He's made more pitches than both pitchers. He's got a pretty good arm, too. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and missed, and it's strike 2. Two balls, 2-2, 2 outs. Nobody on, nothing. We're in the bottom half of the first inning. Fourth game of the 1963 World Series. Here comes Whitey Ford again. Swung on and tapped foul. Right into the Yankee dugout, and manager Ralph Houck fields the ball, flips it out of play. The major. Both these managers, boy, I tell you, they just play a good, sound game of baseball. They give the fellas a ball, and they say, here, play. They don't try to dazzle you with any strategy. They try to just score more runs than the other fellow, and that's what this game's all about. Here's the 2-2 pitch by Whitey Ford. Sidearm, bouncing ball foul right to Joe Becker. And Joe Becker throws it out of play. Another new baseball put in play. Shags Crawford's out of baseball. He's declared bankruptcy already. We'll get some more for you, Shags. Here comes the ball boy with a new supply. Get that ball boy in shape the way we're going. Two balls, two strikes to count. We're in the bottom half of the first inning. Whitey Ford is ready. Here he comes again. Sidearm. Swung on and hit foul. Joe Becker has to do a dance down at first base coaching box. Joe Becker really did a dance. He got out of the way. The way he danced, he may have missed a lesson or two. Two balls, two strikes. Willie Davis really battling up there. Whitey Ford getting his time from Elston Howard, taking a little bit more time now. Now he's ready. Here he comes again. Swung on and popped up. Foul ball behind the plate. Elston Howard coming back near the screen. It's out of play. Shags Crawford and Elston Howard really had quite a race. Shags trying to get out of the way. That's one of the real tough things for an umpire. Now Shags has something to say to Elston. I tell you, if that big Howard would have hit Crawford, he'd have been the victim of a hit-and-run accident. He'd have been leaving it. Crawford, that Howard, a big guy. Set once again now. Two balls and two strikes. Here comes Whitey Ford. Fastball way outside, and it's a full count. And Willie Davis has battled away. It's three balls and two strikes. Maury Wills opened with the walk. Junior Gilliam, in an attempted bunt, popped it in the air. Elston Howard made the play, flipped the Pepitone for the double play, and Willie Davis has been up there battling Whitey Ford. And I say he's been up there a while. Three balls, two strikes. Whitey Ford ready. And here's the payoff pitch. Swung on, foul ball. Cliff Boyer gives it a chase. No chance for a play. Hit that ball off the end of the bat. Bounce into the Dodger dugout. Don Drysdale on the top step of the dugout, hollering at Whitey. Willie Davis is still up there. I tell you, if he was getting paid by the hour, he'd make some money. Three balls, two strikes, sidearm, swung on and missed. He struck him out. Whitey Ford wins the battle. Willie Davis really battled him up there. But Ford gets him on strike, three up and three down. And so at the end of the first inning, the score, the New York Yankees nothing, the Los Angeles Dodgers nothing.
All around contact, top them all again in 64. All around value. Valiant is the car that offers more.
Yes, again in 64, Valiant offers more of everything you want in a compact car. Smart new styling, hot performance, economy of operation, and quality engineering by Chrysler Corporation. So if you want the best in compact car driving, plus the satisfaction of big car quality, see and drive the new 64 Valiant at your earliest opportunity.
Best all-around compact, Valiant 64 style, hard to beat. Best all-around compact, best-looking compact on the street. Valiant.
And why wait? Valiant 64 style is standing in your nearest Plymouth Valiant dealer showroom right now. Plan to see it and drive it this week.
Mickey Mantle, Elston Howard, and Hector Lopez in the top half of the second inning. Fourth game of the 1963 World Series from Dodger Stadium. Here's the first pitch by Koufax. Swung on and missed the strike one. Mantle batting right-handed. Everybody deep on Mantle. Here's the pitch by Koufax. It's inside. One ball and one strike. Gilliam back at third. Wills deep. Krasuski near the bag at second. Scourin is deep. The outfield. Davis, Tommy Davis, deep in left. Willie way back in left center. Strike is called over the outside corner. Two strikes, one ball. Koufax's fastball, when he keeps it down low, will tail away from the right-hand hitter. One ball, two strikes. Curveball. High, ball two. The umpires say that he starts his curveball much higher than the average pitcher. And you really have to wait for that ball to break. When you're hitting, I imagine it looks like he's breaking from the top of the flagpole. Here's a 2-2 pitch. High, ball three. Mantle had to go down. Three balls, two strikes. Koufax taking plenty of time. Ready now. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swung on, fly ball, deep right center field. Elton Howard, Frank Howard going over there and makes the play. Mickey Mantle flies to Frank Howard in right center field, and there is one away, and it brings up Elton Howard. Elston Howard, the Yankee catcher, holds that bat high. Koufax delivers. Swung on and fouled back. Strike one. Hector Lopez, the on-deck hitter. Koufax struck out Howard one time in that record-breaking game he had. Foul back again, a high fastball, and Koufax is quickly out in front with two strikes. Two strikes, no balls. One man out, nothing, nothing. Top of the second. From Dodger Stadium. Koufax ready, the pitch. Misses outside. One ball, two strikes. One of the amazing things about Koufax, when he misses, he just misses. So the pitch really works for him as it sets up the next one. And here it is. Swung on, popped up. A high fly ball. Short center field. Willie Davis is coming in under the ball and makes the catch. Whoops. He just wasn't too sure of it. It's a high sky here. It's not an easy sky for the ball players. Once that ball gets up there, you don't have those little clouds to help you. Willie Davis ran Krasuski and Maury Wills off the ball and made the play. So there are two outs, and Hector Lopez is the hitter. Lopez, right-hand hitter, hits that ball a lot to right center and towards the right field line. Curve ball is high, and it's ball one. Koufax changing speeds. Two men out. Nobody on. Here's the pitch by Sandy. Curveball swung on. Foul tip. One ball and one strike. Frank Howard in right field had moved over towards the right field line. He's playing Lopez as if he were a left-handed hitter. Willie Davis is shade over in right center. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Fastball foul back and a strike two. One ball, two strikes. Sandy Koufax against Whitey Ford, the fourth game of the World Series. Another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation. A big ball game. And Koufax is ready, and here's the pitch to Lopez. Swung on, fly ball, center field. Willie Davis is going over. Over, he is there and makes the play. In left center field, Willie Davis got over there. As you can see him almost outrun that ball to make the play. And it's a 1-2-3 inning for the Yankees in the second. And so at the end of 1.5 innings, the score, Yankees nothing, Los Angeles nothing.
Get up and go, play with Mr. Go, go, play with Mr. Put down on the floor. You'll never know who's driving till you go out driving in a Plymouth 64.
If this is the year you pick to buy a new car, You picked a beautiful year for a beautiful reason, and that is the 1964 Plymouth. Is the kind of car that really brightens up your driveway. Is the kind of car that gives you quality. Quality you can rely on. Yet out on the road, here's a new car for 64 that really has get up and go.
You got the get up and go car. Mr. Renault, car's gonna get up and go. Like a Plymouth,
so don't
get up and go for you.
Why not get up and go see the new 64 Plymouth this week? It's on display right now at all Plymouth dealer showrooms. Your nearest dealer will be happy to give you a test drive and show you the 64 Plymouth's outstanding features.
Bottom half of the second inning, Tommy Davis, Frank Howard, and Moose Scourer. Whitey Ford, the Yankee pitcher, and a left-hander getting his sign. He's ready. Here's the first pitch to Tommy Davis. It's low and it's ball one. Gets by Elsenauer. You know, the reason that they throw out a lot of these baseballs here at Dodger Stadium, the grass has been dyed green, and every time it hits that grass, looks like it's been left over from an Easter egg hunt. One ball to count. Tommy Davis waits. Outside. And it's ball two. Two balls. No strikes. Tommy Davis takes a look at Pete Reister. This is a pitch controlled by manager Walter Alston, but your fourth place hitter usually turn him loose. He takes it, though, and it's right down the middle, and it's strike one. Two balls, one strike. Nobody on, nobody out. Bottom of the second, nothing, nothing. Tommy Davis waits and Ford delivers. Swung on, right field. Fly ball, Hector Lopez is there, makes the play. And that brings up Frank Howard. Frank Howard. This big guy really put a charge in the one in Yankee Stadium. And since then, they have thrown him a lot of slow pitches, screwballs, and let-up curveballs. And they've been able to contain him. Whitey Ford ready, and here's the pitch. Slow curveball, high ball one. But boy, that takes a little bit of courage to throw this fella a slow ball when you're only 60 feet, 6 inches from him. Frank Howard waits, and here's Ford. Another slow curve. Misses, and it's ball two. He takes a look at Pete Reister. Reister just kind of walking around that coach's box. He might just say, hit that ball if it's in there. Two balls, no strikes. Big Dodger outfielder, Frank Howard. Ford ready now, and here's the 2-0 pitch. Fastball is low on its ball three. Takes a look once again at Reister. You're always hitting when you go into that batter's box. They give you a take sign. And here's the 3-0 pitch to Howard. He was swinging. He does. Line drive right center field. Hector Lopez comes in. Can't make the play. It's a base hit. Frank Howard gets the first base hit of the ball game, a single in the right center field on a 3-0 pitch, which pretty much tells you how Walter Alston's going to play this game. He's playing it wide open. He turned his big man loose, 3-0. Scouring the hitter, the pitch by Ford, tap foul, strike one. Joe Pepitone playing behind the base runner at first base. Frank Howard, they don't expect him to run. He's got good speed, takes those great big strides. He takes two strides and he better turn, because if he takes four, he'll be out of the park. One strike to count on Moose Gown. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed.
And it's strike two. Scarron steps out of the batter's box now, puts his hands on his hip, and he's kind of taking an inventory because it looked like he was completely fooled on the last pitch. He just kind of gave it a feeble flick. Two strikes, four delivers. Swung on, looks like a double play. Kubek to Richardson, one out, over to first it is. They get it. A double play hit into by Moose Scarron from Kubek to Richardson to Pepitone, so it's 1-2-3, although they got one base hit in that inning. And so at the end of two innings, the score, Yankees nothing, Dodgers nothing.
They call it Badgett 64 style, the smartest looking compact ever to come down the pipe.
Best all around compact, Badgett saves you money all the way. Best all around Badgett.
If you want performance, you'll love Valiant Spirited Action. You'll like it zipped for 64.
Best all-around compact. Move it with the drive to and you can. Best all-around compact. Like to be a river
dealer man. Valiant 64 style is the compact car you want to see and drive for sure. And why wait? Valiant 64 style is standing in your nearest Plymouth Valiant dealer showroom right now. Plan to see it this week.
Joe Pepitone, Creed Boyer, and Whitey Ford, the first three Yankee hitters here in the top half of the third inning. The attendance has just been announced here, and it's exactly the same as yesterday, a capacity crowd of 55,912. So nobody lost a ticket between yesterday and today. They're all back. Koufax delivers a curveball, and Pepitone gives it to How Do You Do, and it's strike one. Koufax, tough on the left-hand hitter. Ready, delivers. Another curveball, high. One ball and one strike. Well, when you get a guy like Koufax who can break that big curveball and you're a left-hand hitter, sometimes it looks like you're actually bowing at it when it comes by. Curveball tapped on the first base line, but it rolls foul. Two strikes, one ball. Yogi started for it, but he thought, well, Moose, you pick it up. You're a little bit older than I am. Yogi always visiting with Moose. He's telling him all about the shadows in Yankee Stadium, forgetting that Moose played there some 10, 12 years. One of the helpful services provided by Mr. Barra. Here's a two-strike, one-ball pitch. Struck him out. That's the third strikeout for Sandy Koufax. All of them swinging strikeouts. Here is Cleve Boyer. Cleve Boyer, Yankee third baseman. One out. Koufax has retired the first seven men that he's faced. The left-hander delivers. Swung on and missed is strike one. Top half of the third inning. Yankees nothing, Dodgers nothing. Fourth game of the World Series. Another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation from Dodger Stadium. Curveball, swung on, and missed in a strike two. Sandy Koufax. The left-hander. Getting his sign. And here he comes again. Curveball, swung on, and missed. And struck him out. That brings up Whitey Ford.
Boy, that's the only man, Joey, hadn't struck out that first game.
Oh, I didn't know that. He got him today. Maybe he knew it, Ernie. Here is Whitey Ford. Swung on and foul back. Started to say, Ernie, I'd like to have that fellow who says the curveball don't break I'd like to put him in that batter's box against Koufax and just listen to him, because I know he's not going to hit it. Swung on, foul tip, and a strike two. Koufax looks like somebody just kind of wound him up, starting towards the mound, and said, throw strikes. There he is. Two strikes. Curveball swung on, a bouncing ball. Scowling nicely to his right, has it. Koufax covers, and they get forward. Koufax had to do a double dance step as he missed the bag with his first step, but he was there in time. It's a 1-2-3 inning for the Yankees in the third. And so at the end of 2.5 innings, the score, Yankees nothing, the Dodgers nothing.
Get up and go, Plymouth, sister. Go, go, Plymouth. Put your foot down on the floor. You'll never know, driving, sister. Go out driving in a Plymouth 64. You thought you knew beauty, till a brand new beauty came to town to show you more. And when you're not out sparking, you will find her parking in the driveway by your door. Get up and go, Plymouth, get to know Plymouth, try a Plymouth 64. Get up and go, Plymouth, sister, go, go, Plymouth, from the very day you do. You've got to get up and go, car, Mr. and no car, gonna get up and go, like a Plymouth will go, Plymouth, get up and go, and for you.
The Get Up and Go Plymouth for 64 is on display now. Be sure to see it at your nearest Plymouth dealer's showroom. You'll be glad you did.
Bottom half of the third inning from Dodger Stadium. This is Joe Garagiola with Ernie Harwell. And it'll be John Roseborough, Dick Krasuski, and Sandy Koufax for the Dodgers. Roseborough with a tremendous home run in that first ball game. Roseborough, a left-handed hitter. John, one of those quiet guys, just lets his glove and his bat do his talking. Here's the pitch by Ford. Slow, and it's ball one. Boyer in just barely on the grass. Kubek over near the bag. Richardson back at second. Pepitone guards that line at first. Here's the pitch by Whitey Ford. Curveball, it's a bouncy ball. Pepitone, the big hop, he's got it. He flips to Whitey Ford, and Roseborough is out. 3-1. Roseborough bounces out. Pepitone to Whitey Ford. And that brings up Dick Krasuski. Told him before the game, I said, Dick, you got a name like mine. Looks like a broken eye chart. When you go to sign those baseballs, you need half the baseball to get your name on it. Ford delivers. He bunts one of a bunted foul. Tried to push it past Ford. Whitey, a good fielder.
Say, Joe, how'd you come out in those abbreviated box scores anyway? G-L-A?
That's about it, Ernie. I tell you, it was ridiculous. G-L-A. Hitting to a double play for so-and-so. Here's Whitey Ford delivering to Trzuski. Swung on, it's a bouncy ball. Kubek at short has it. Long throw, and they get him. That last hop was kind of a tricky one. It's always the important one. And here's Sandy Koufax. Listen to the hand. Sandy Koufax bats right-handed against Whitey Ford. The left-hander, Ford delivers. Sandy takes a low ball one. On one of our NBC Major League telecasts this year, we saw Sandy Koufax hit a home run. Takes it inside. It's ball two. And we asked Sandy about it. He said he didn't realize what he had done until he got to second. And then he didn't know whether to stop or apologize. Koufax looks at Reeser for a sign. I bet if he gets a hit sign, he'll faint from shock. Two balls, no strikes. Waller Alston once gave him a fake sign with three balls and two strikes. Ford delivers. Sandy swings and misses, and he was going for one. He was going for a tape measure job. He really had a cut. Two balls, one strike, two outs, Ford delivers. Bouncing ball down the third base line, and boy, Sandy is flexing his muscles. Did he really get some cuts up there? Well, when you swing like that, even when you miss it, it does you a lot of good. Every bone in your body is nice and loose. Whitey Ford rubs up that baseball. Whitey, a cool customer. You know why he's got the great record he's got. Knows what to do with every pitch, helps himself fielding. Ready now. Here's the 2-2 pitch to Koufax. Swung on and off the end of the bat, a bouncy ball to Pepitone. Pepitone takes it himself, steps on the bag, and it's 1-2-3 for the Dodgers. And so at the end of three innings of score, Yankees nothing, Dodgers nothing. And we pause 30 seconds for station identification.
Make sure you're mixing with the best. Get Saratoga Vichy in the green bottle with the bright yellow label at your favorite store or tavern. WGY 810 on your dial, Schenectady, New York.
Kubek to lead it off for the Yankees here. As Koufax takes his warm-up tosses, nothing as we go into the top half of the fourth inning. Fourth game of the 1963 World Series. Another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation from Dodger Stadium. Roseboro giving Koufax a nice low target. There's a throw to second base. And Kubek, who was out on strikes in that batter's box. Nothing. Well, everybody said it was going to be a pitching series, and it certainly has been that. Koufax is ready, and here's the pitch to Kubek. Swung on, foul ball. Nobody will get this one beyond the Dodger dugout and down the third baseline. I say nobody. There's 55,912 people here. Somebody will get it. Here's the pitch. Curveball high. One ball and one strike. Same number of people that were here yesterday. Gilliam shortens up at third base. Here's the pitch by Koufax. Curveball bounced right back to Sandy. He's got it over to Skarin. One out. Kubek bounces out. Koufax to Skarin. Here is Bobby Richardson. Frank Rossetti coaches at third base. Yogi Berra coaches at first base. Manager Ralph Hauck, a bench manager. Koufax ready. Here's the pitch to Bobby Richardson. Starts the swing. Strike is called. He swung to Shag Crawford. That's a tough play for the umpire to have swing. A lot of times if he gets screened, he'll get help from the base umpires. Koufax delivers. Richardson pops one up. Short center field. Krasuski going out. Wills going out. Willie Davis coming in. Nobody gets it. It's dropped. And Richardson is on at second base. Willie Davis came in. He was waving everybody off. Maury Wills gave it that last minute lunge. And the ball dropped between Wills, Davis, and Krasuski. And that brings up Tom Thresh. The booing you hear, they're ruling a single. Richardson is on at second base. We'll have to get some clarification. Here's the pitch to Thresh. Swung on and missed. And strike one. The scoreboard has indicated single. Richardson is on at second base. Tom Thresh batting right-handed. Richardson a good lead. And here's the pitch. Didn't mean the swing hits his bat, and a strike two. Bobby Richardson is credited with the double. They flash it now. And that is the first base hit off Sandy Koufax. There's one man out. Thresh is the hitter. The count on Thresh, two strikes. Richardson at second base. Thresh is out on strikes his first time up. Batting right-handed, Koufax, taking plenty of time. Bobby Richardson just standing at second base. A little bit of a lead, edges off now. Here's the pitch by Koufax, swung on, popped up. Behind home plate, John Roseboro off with the mask, near the screen. He has room, he's there, he makes the play. Thresh fouls to Roseboro. So there are two outs, and the hitter is Mickey Mantle. Mantle hit the ball good the last time into right center field. Bobby Richardson at second base. The Yankees have no runs, one hit, no errors. The Dodgers no runs, one hit, no errors. We're in the top half of the fourth inning. Richardson leads off second. Mantle waits. The pitch by Koufax is almost a wild pitch. A curveball, and Roseboro made a fine play. That ball bounced about 6 feet in front of the plate. Roseboro got in front of that ball, blocked it nicely, and kept Richardson from advancing. Boy, that's the kind of a curveball that's got that great spin on it, and usually it'll squib right by you. But Roseboro did a good job blocking it. One ball, no strikes. Mickey Mantle batting right-handed against left-hander Sandy Koufax. Left-hander Koufax checks Bobby Richardson. The pitch to Mantle is swung on, a bouncing ball. Maury Wills, the big hop. He's got it. There's the throw in time. And the inning is over as Mantle bounces out. Wills is down. No runs. There was one hit, no errors. One man was left on base. And so at the end of 3.5 innings, the score, Yankees nothing, Dodgers nothing.
All around Koufax. Stop them all again in 64.
Yes, again in 64, Valiant offers more of everything you want in a compact car. Smart new styling, hot performance, economy of operation, and quality engineering by Chrysler Corporation. So if you want the best in compact car driving, plus the satisfaction of big car quality, see and drive the new 64 Valiant at your earliest opportunity.
Best all-around compact. Valiant 64 style car to beat. Best all-around compact. Best looking compact on the street.
Valiant. And why wait? Valiant 64 style is standing in your nearest Plymouth Valiant dealer showroom right now. Plan to see it and drive it this week.
Bottom half of the fourth inning, Maury Wills, Jim Gilliam, and Willie Davis. Goes to throw down to second base. Nothing, nothing. Yankees Dodgers, fourth game of this 1963 World Series. And you're listening to it on the NBC Radio Network, the World Series, another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation. From Dodger Stadium, Whitey Ford, and probably one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game of his career. Time is called now as a banner started to come down from left center field. Maury Wills. Wills walked his first time up. And boy, when this guy gets in that batter's box, the Yankee defense edges in on their toes, looking for anything. Whitey Ford is set. The first pitch to Maury Wills. He takes a strike over the outside corner. Whitey Ford, a real worker out there, moves that ball in and out, up and down, ready. Curveball swung on and missed, and a strike two. Every pitch that Whitey Ford throws works for him. And he misses, he just misses to set up the next one. He's got an ID on every one. Wills waits. Ford nods that he has the one he wants. And he delivers a two-strike pitch to Wills. Strike three is called. A fastball caught that inside corner. Maury Wills is out on strikes. There's one away, and here is Jim Gilliam. Whitey Ford threw two pitches to the outside corner and then came in with that fastball and caught Maury Wills looking. Wills called out on strikes. And Gilliam is up there batting right-handed. Jim Gilliam, who every year goes to spring training looking for a job. And every year he plays 120 or 30 games somewhere. Swings at the bouncing ball. Boyer to his left nicely. He's got it. The throw to first in time. Gilliam is out from Boyer to Pepitone. Here is Willie Davis. Here's a Whitey Ford inning that has started out typical, where he's made four pitches and he's gotten two outs. Davis was out on strikes last time, but he really battled, boy. He was up there about a day and a half hitting foul balls. Finally, he went down on a 3-2 count. They look at the baseball again. And Shax Crawford said, well, one of them was stitched, the other one wasn't. He finally got one in play. Whitey Ford wants the new baseball, gets it, rubs it up, and looks for a sign. Willie Davis waits. Here's the pitch by Whitey. Swung on, popped up. Foul territory. Elton Howard coming over. Near the stands, he's got room and makes the play. So Willie Davis on the first pitch pops up to Elton Howard. Gilliam went out in the first pitch. An easy inning for Whitey Ford and the Yankees. Three up and three down. And so at the end of the fourth inning, the score, Yankees nothing, Dodgers nothing.
Mother, a letter from Bob. Listen, dear Ruth, Chrysler Corporation warns for 5 years at 50,000 miles, whichever comes first, against defects in materials and workmanship, and will replace or repair the Chrysler Motors Corporation authorized dealer's place of business, the engine block head and internal parts, intake manifold, water pump, transmission case, and internal parts, excluding manual clutch, torque converter, drive shafts, universal joints, rear axle, and differential, and rear wheel bearings of its 1964 automobile, provided the owner has the oil changed every 3 months or 4,000 miles, whichever comes first, the oil filter replaced every second oil change, and the carburetor air filter cleaned every 6 months and replaced every 2 years, and every 6 months furnishes to such a dealer evidence of performance of the required service and requests the dealer to certify receipt of such evidence in the car's same current mileage. Thinking of you always, Bob.
Dear, are you sure you're doing the right thing marrying a car dealer?
Elston Howard to lead it off. Hector Lopez and Joe Pepitone for the Yankees. Top of the fifth. Yankees, no runs, one hit, no errors. Dodgers, no runs, one hit, no errors. That's the whole story here. The one hit for the Yankees was a bloop double by Richardson that fell as Wills, Pruszewski, and Willie Davis chased it. Here's the pitch by Koufax. Curveball high. The base hit by the Dodgers was a 3-0 single hit by Frank Howard in the second inning. Koufax delivers, swung on and missed. And it's one ball and one strike. Koufax not only throws that big breaking curveball, but he gets great rotation on it. Real good spin. Line drive, center field, no doubt about that one. Up the middle. Willie Davis comes up with it. And Koufax delivered a slow curveball, and Ed Howard sent it right back up the middle. Koufax ducked it, and here is Hector Lopez. That's the hardest hit ball in this ball game. Hector Lopez, who flied to left center field his first time up. Hector, a good hitter, hits a lot to the right side. Scourin holds Elston Howard close at first base. Koufax is about to pitch. He's outside, and it's ball one. One ball, no strikes. Nothing, nothing. Top of the fifth inning. Lopez takes a look at Corsetti. One run could be a big run for either Whitey Ford or Koufax, so you always have to be alive for something. Elston Howard leads off first. Koufax delivers. Lopez takes it inside, and it's ball two. Two balls, no strikes. The outfield shades Lopez towards the right field line. Frank Howard near the line. Willie Davis in right center. There's a lot of room in left center. As Tommy Davis is normal in left field. Koufax delivers. Swung on a bouncing ball, foul. Hector tried to pull that ball. The infield back. Looking for the ground ball. They can turn it over. Krasuski may be cheating a step towards the bag. Wills is back. Gilliam is back. Scourin holds Elston Howard close at first base. Hector Lopez waves that back. Koufax gets the sign. Checks the base runner. Here's the pitch to Lopez. Swung on. Hopped up. Short right field. Krasuski's going out. Frank Howard is coming in. Howard calls for the ball and makes the play. Hector Lopez tried to hit that ball in the right field. Popped it up. Howard made the play, and it brings up Joe Pepitone. And Krasuski, boy, he's got to be careful when he runs out on a short pop fly to Howard out there. Allowed to run right into his kneecap. Here's Joe Pepitone now. Nothing, nothing. That's the score. One man out. The base runner at first base is Elston Howard. Koufax checks him. Here's the pitch. Pepitone takes it outside. And it's ball one. Yankees nothing. Dodgers nothing. Fourth game. Koufax has his sign. Howard leads off first. The pitch to Pepitone is swung on and fouled back. One ball and one strike to count. Dodgers won the first game 5-2. The second game 4-1. They won the yesterday's ball game 1-0. They're going for the sweep. Yankees battling to stay alive. Top of the fifth inning. One strike, one ball, one out. Elston Howard, the base runner at first base. Muscown holds him close. Koufax lobs one over to first base. That's not his good move. It was more or less a commercial to let Howard know that he knew he was there. Here's a throw. Howard is back easily. Yogi Berra coaching at first. Koufax delivers. Pepitone swings and fouls one back. He had a good cut at a fastball. The count, two strikes, one ball, one out. Elston Howard, the base runner. Nothing, nothing's the score. Cleve Boyer, the next hitter. Koufax taking plenty of time. One ball, two strikes. Joe Pepitone, the hitter. Koufax checks the runner, Howard. He's got a lead at first. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. He struck him out. A curveball. And that's the fifth strikeout for Sandy Koufax. Pepitone down swinging for the fifth strikeout, and it brings up Cleve Boyer. Muscour in first base motions to the Dodger bench. He wants to know if he should play behind the base runner, Elston Howard. So far, they haven't indicated. And still holding Howard on. Koufax is ready. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed strike one, a high fastball. Scourin still hasn't got a sign. Now Roseboro walks out to allow Scourin to get some information from the bench. He's motioned halfway. They say, no, you stay where you are, Moose. He says, all right, I'm just trying to do my job. Nothing, nothing. That's the score. Here's the pitch. The Boyer swung on and missed. And a strike two. Two strikes to count. Two out. Nothing, nothing. Boyer, right-handed hitter, waves that bat. Koufax has his sign, checks the runner, Elston Howard at first. The pitch is swung on, a bouncing ball. Maury Wills to his right. It's a tough play. It's played to second base. It is in time. What a play by Krasuski. As he had to go down to his knees, but he was still able to hold on to the ball and keep his foot on the bag. Maury Wills had no chance to get the base runner Boyer at first. He made the force play. And that ends the inning. The score, nothing, nothing. And here's Ernie Harwell.
Well, the first half, the game has been brought to you by the Chrysler Corporation. The second half being brought to you by the Gillette Safety Razor Company. Hitting surprise for the Dodgers so far has been Bill Scourin. Ben Scully recorded him the other day in the clubhouse while he was shaving. Listen.
Luce, have you tried the new Gillette stainless blade? There's one in my razor now, Ben, and I've never been able to shave so fast and easy before. Talk about comfort, nothing like it.
One man asks another, have you tried the new Gillette stainless blade? One man tells another, there's just nothing like them, because on stainless steel or any steel, it's the edge that counts. And Gillette edges are the sharpest, easiest shaving in the world. You'll realize in the first stroke, your first shave, Gillette has given a brand new meaning to the phrase shaving comfort. Quick, clean shaves, refreshing shaves, and more of them per blade. And uniform, each blade is alike, each equally smooth shaving, an achievement unmatched by other makers' blades. A dispenser of six incomparable Gillette stainless blades costs just 89 cents, the lowest price per blade. Well, we've got a great duel here between two fine left-handers, Whitey Ford, Sandy Koufax. And Tommy Davis will lead off in the last half of the fifth inning for the Dodgers. The game is scoreless. The Yankees have no runs on two hits and no errors. The Dodgers have no runs on one hit and no errors. Another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation. Coming from Dodgers Stadium in Los Angeles. Tommy Davis waits. The pitch is a ball down low. Ford gave him a fastball low. Neither team has scored through the first half of the battle. And what a battle it has been. Here's the windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed a low breaking ball. And the count is even on Tommy Davis at 1-1. Outfield plays him deep and straight away. Tommy, the batting champion of the National League for the last two seasons. Big, strong right-hand batter waiting. Here's the windup by Ford. The 1-1 pitch. He takes the ball. It's low. And the count, two balls and one strike. Ford, of course, likes to keep that ball down low. He's more effective that way. Now the pitch on the way. Davis looks. It's 2-0. 3-1 on Tommy. The Dodgers have had two runners. Wills walked, but was erased on a double play in the first inning. Then Frank Howard singled with one out in the second, and he was erased on a double play. So they've had the 12 regulation batters in the first four innings here at Dodger Stadium. Davis, the first time he batted flat out to right. 3-1 the count on him. Here's the windup by Whitey. He delivers. Here's a drive hit on one off the deep second. Richardson has it. They throw the Pepitone in time. And there's one up and one down in the Dodger fifth inning. Frank Howard, who has the only hit for Los Angeles, steps up. He looks a single into right field with one out in the second. And then the next man, Scourin, ended the inning by banging into the double play. Short to second to first. The last eight men have gone down in order against Whitey Ford. Make it nine if you count Scourin hitting into the double play. Outfield very deep. The pitch is a curve. left field seat. Here's Coward up. It's 1-0 in favor of Los Angeles. Swing is a high fly ball down the line and left. Coming over is Stretch, racing toward foul territory and can't get it. It's just out of play.
Honey, that ball that Frank Howard hit looked like a slow curveball. He might have halfway been looking for it. And I guarantee if he chops that baby up in his singles, he leads the league for the next 5 years.
That's a long time, wouldn't it?
Boy, that was hit a long way.
There was some question. I wondered when it was first hit whether it would be fair or foul, but it seemed to go in fair a good bit. Kept an eye on Johnny Rice, the baseline umpire. 1-0, Dodgers lead. It's the last half of the fifth inning. They've got one out and nobody on. Here's Cowan waiting, and the pitch to the Moose is a fastball in too close. 1-1 to count on him. High and far and wide, that drive off the bat of Frank Howard. His second hit, he has both the hits off Whitey Ford. Now Whitey, the little left-hander, pitches, it's a ball in too close. 2-1 to count on Cowan. Richardson pull over to his right near second base. Kubek is into the hole at short. And Lopez has to guard that right field area against Coward. Here's the pitch. He swings as a line drive to center, coming hard as Mantle. He's there to make the catch. The ball took off a little bit after Mickey came in. He had to back up a couple of steps.
This is a tremendous ballpark. 330 on a line for 380, and it's a beautiful ballpark. I tell you, Ernie, you've got to... And if people from the East come in and look at this ballpark, now they're amazed at the beauty of it. And you've got to go for Mr. O'Malley's courage in putting it up. I'll say one thing, he's getting whacked pretty good with the taxes, which may not be just right either.
Well, here's John Roseborough batting now. He's 0-1. Ralph Terry is throwing in the Yankee bullpen. Ford pitching, and Roseborough, the left-handed batting catcher, takes the ball down low. Ball one. The home run by Frank Howard, propelling the Dodgers into a 1-0 lead here in the fifth inning. Now Ford works again. It's a fastball low, 2-0 on Roseboro. Two out and the base is empty. Here's a fastball. It gets the letters, and it's a strike call, 2-1. Two balls, one strike, two out, nobody on base. Roseborough waits, here it comes. It's a ball outside. He started for first base, but that is only ball three. Crawford says, come on back now, and let's try it again. 3-1. Trying to get a bargain there. Ford takes his time. Here's the windup. Here's the pitch. It's a swing and a miss. He tried to check on a sharp breaking ball that was down around the knees, but he'd gone too far. 3-2 on Roseboro. The Dodgers won and the Yankees nothing in the fourth game of the 1963 World Series at Dodgers Stadium in Los Angeles. Now Whitey into action again. Here he comes. Roseboro cuts and strikes out. The curveball got him and that ends the inning. One run, one hit. No errors, nobody left, and at the end of five, the Dodgers won and the Yankees nothing. Well, they are still talking about the fine three-hit shutout that John Drysdale pitched yesterday, and Don was talking with Ben Scully not long ago, so let's listen in.
Hey, Don, that's a real clean-looking shave you've got there.
Sure, Ben, it's a Gillette shave. Nothing like it to keep a man looking his best, and there's nothing like it for comfort.
Don Drysdale and millions of men know the easy way to look and feel their best, a quick, refreshing all Gillette shave. Foamy instant lather shave cream gives whiskers a super soaking, keeps them moist, the first easy stroke to last. Slip a super blue blade in your slim adjustable razor and dial the blade setting that's just right for your particular skin and beard. Gillette's exclusive micrometer dial has 9 settings. Lower numbers for lighter beards, higher numbers for heavy beards. Right now, as the Gillette World Series special, get the slim adjustable razor with super blue blades, plus foamy, regular or menthol, for only $1.79. It's a $2.29 value, so you save 50 cents. We pause 30 seconds for station identification.
You'll always be home safe when you buy Ginger Perfect Saratoga Ginger Ale. Its extra pale dry flavor is bubbly, bright, and zestful. A delicious pick-me-up beverage and a real thirst quencher, too. Saratoga Ginger Ale is a happy marriage of imported Jamaican gingers and clear, pure crystal waters with a just right touch of carbonation. The result is the most zestful, tangy, rich ginger ale you've ever tasted. World Series time, anytime is the time for refreshing, bright, sparkling Saratoga Ginger Ale. The ginger perfect beverage. Get Saratoga Ginger Ale at your favorite store or tavern by name. WGY Schenectady.
First pitch to him, and now waits on a strike one delivery from Koufax. Here's the pitch. He swings and pops it foul over near the screen. Here comes Roseborough. He has the room. He's under it and makes the catch. Ford topping out the catcher, John Roseborough. One out in the Yankees' sixth inning and the top of their batting order. Tony Kubek steps up. Tony struck out in the opening inning and then he bounced right back to Koufax in the fourth. He's 0 for 2 for the afternoon. Mike Crawford dusting off the plate. The Dodgers have 2 hits, both by Frank Howard, a single and a home run. And the Yankees have 2 hits, a double by Richardson and a single by Elston Howard. A high curve on Tony. Ball on the count on him. Gilliam inside the bag at third base. Willie Davis in left center. It's tall Sandy Koufax. Ready to deliver. Here's a foul ball out of play. Down past third base in the lower deck. 1-1. That's the count. Dodgers got their run in the fifth on the home run by Frank Howard. Kubek waits. The 1-1 delivery. Swing, a foul fly. It'll be out of play. Back into short left. 1-2. The count on Tony. Spreads out a little bit up there at the plate. Benavidez waiting. Here it comes. A curve that's tapped foul. That one off his hands and right back at the plate. One ball, 2-strike count. 1 out and nobody on. The Yankees are at bat in the sixth inning. And the Dodgers lead 1-0. In the fourth game of the 1963 World Series. Check of the sign by Sandy. Now he's ready. He winds. He pitches. There's a tap back toward the mound. Backs off the mound to field it. Goes to first to Cowan in plenty of time. And there are 2 up and 2 down in the New York sixth inning. Bring up Bobby Richardson. And the first Yankee hit a pop fly double that fell into short center field in the fourth inning. This time Bobby batted. He fouled out to the catcher, John Roseborough. Here's the windup by Koufax. He pitches. There's a fly ball down the right field line. Maybe foul. Skarin. Krzyzewski are chasing it, and Skarin can't get to it. He reached out, but he just missed it with his outstretched glove.
You know, Ernie, this background here will help Koufax. Not that he needs any help, but he comes directly overhanded, and that green backdrop really doesn't give the hitters too much help because he's above that when he delivers it. Remember this year earlier when he was pitching in Milwaukee, they had the eclipse. And I remember Gene Oliver saying, that's all Koufax needs is for the lights to go out. You know, even the moon goes out for him.
He's Bobby batting now with a strike one count on him.
And he looks him over. Here's the kick and the pitch. It's too high with a curveball, 1-1. Right hand batter waiting. Now the 1-1 delivery. It's a slow curve. It got across there, 1-2. He changed up on him that time and got the slow curve in above the knees. Koufax ready. He pitches. Here's a tap foul down to a third base.
You know what the feeling is, Ernie, when a fella can throw that hard and he changes speed? You can feel the give in your shoestrings as your body starts to leave the shoes.
He's been changing up beautifully, and his control has been terrific. When he's missed that plate, he's missed by very little. Now the pitch on the way, cut on a ground ball to short. Maury Wills has the big hop. The throw to Scourin, and the side is out, 1-2-3. At the end of the first half of the sixth inning, the Dodgers, 1 and the Yankees, nothing. Come one, come all to the Paper Mate Refill. Get your free Paper Mate Refill. Yes, buy one Paper Mate piggyback pen for $1.69 and get an extra piggyback refill free. Or buy the Papermate Capri Pen for $1.95 and get an extra jumbo refill free. Yes, you get Papermate quality and free refills, too. Papermate pens never skip. They even write over butter. And every Papermate is guaranteed. If it doesn't write, we replace it. Now's the time to get yourself or anyone in your family a new Papermate pen while this free refill offer lasts. Buy a Papermate pen for just $1.69. Get an extra piggyback refill free. Buy a Papermate Capri pen for $1.95 and get an extra jumbo refill free. It's the biggest pen bargain going. Come to the Papermate refill now, wherever Papermate pens are sold. Zuski will lead off. Dodgers, the right-hand batting infielder. Good job at second base for Walt Austin. He's 0-for-1 in this battle against Whitey Ford. And the Dodgers lead the Yankees 1-0 in the last half of the sixth inning. A little left-hander, Ford, gets his sign, started to go to work, then stopped. Now he's ready. He pitches. And it's a strike and above the knee. Suzuki. Both the Dodger hits belong to Frank Howard, and one of those a home run. Here's a ball in too close, 1-1. Backed him off with a fastball that time. Wind up by Whitey, he delivers. Here's a ball in too close, 2-1 the count. Whitey's first World Series experience back in 1950 when he pitched against the Phillies. Ford has slowed up on his pitching pace out there on the mound. Suzuki waiting on him. 2-1 the count. Outfield shallow straight away. There's a line drive to center, going back a little bit. Mantle now. He's there to reach up and make the catch on the run. One up and one down, and the Dodgers sixth man, Koufax, will get a hand. Sandy Koufax. He now lives in Studio City, California. And went to the University of Cincinnati on a basketball scholarship. Ward delivers. It's a ball down low. Ball one. Outfield almost straight away. Not deep. The infield back. 1-0, Dodgers lead. There's a swing and a miss on a knee-high pitch, and the count even 1-1. Maury Wells waiting out on deck for Los Angeles.
the difference in this game, the long home run blast by Frank Howard in the fifth inning. Here's the pitch. He takes the cut and misses. 1-2 count on Koufax. Goes off that mound a little bit, rubs up the ball, now tucks his cap. Looking into Elston Howard. Here's the windup. He pitches. Strike called. He hits the outside front of the fastball. Strikeout for Whitey Ford. That's the fourth for Whitey. Here's the top of the batting order now. The sleeping shortstop, Maury Wills. He's walked and taken a call third strike. And there goes that delaying tactic again. Wills calling for a look at the ball. And so Fax goes back to the bench. Switch hitter batting right-handed against Whitey Ford. He was 8 years in the minors before the Dodgers brought him up to their major league club to stay. As a chopped ground to hit to Richardson, he has it. The toss up to Pepitone for the easy out, and that's all in the Dodgers' sixth. Nothing across. At the end of six, Dodgers 1, Yankees nothing. The fans don't miss out on the 1963 Gillette World Series special that saves you 50 cents. You get the streamlined Gillette Slim Adjustable Razor with the exclusive micrometer blade setting dial. That's 9 settings to choose from. And one is just right for you. And you get a 79-cent can of Gillette Foamy Instant Lather Shave Cream, regular or menthol. It adds up to a $2.29 value. Yours now for only $1.79. The Gillette World Series Special. Slim adjustable razor with super blue blades, plus extra rich foamy for $1.79. And you save 50 cents. Well, another World Series battle that certainly has belonged to the pitchers so far. In fact, the pitchers have dominated this entire series. And right now, Sandy Koufax out dueling Whitey Ford 1-0. The New York Yankees coming to bat in their half of the seventh inning against Sandy. The home run by Frank Howard in the fifth inning. The difference in this battle. Here's Trash, switch hitter, batting right-handed. He's 0-2 today. It's a curveball down low, scooped out of the dirt by Roseboro, the Dodger catcher. Trash struck out and then fouled out to Roseboro. It's a curve across just above the knees, 1-1. Sandy has not walked anybody, and he struck out 5. There's his curve in a little bit too close. Trash looked a little tempted on that one, but he didn't go for it. 2-1 the count on Tom. The pitch on the way, popped in the air, over near first base in foul territory. Scarron there, he makes the catch. The last 7 batters have gone down in order now against Sandy Koufax, following the leadoff single by Howard in the fifth inning. Here's Mickey Mantle. The Yankee slugger has fly to right and bounced to short. The pitch on the way. He swings. There's a fly ball to deep left. It may be. It's out of here. A home run by Mickey Mantle.
Howard now. It's a high ball game, 1-1.
the first half of the seventh inning. Fastball, back him away. Ball one. The third hit off Koufax for the Yankees. It's a ground foul ball hit over toward the Dodger bench. 1-1 the count. Here's the motion. Here's the pitch. He swings and misses. A tight fastball fooled him that time. The two home runs, a little bit different. Howard's was a long, high fly ball nearer the line. Mantle's is more of a line drive, and it's more up the left center field alley. As the line drive to right center, it'll be in for a base hit. Whitney Davis chases it down. And Howard makes a big turn and holds with a long single to right center. His second hit. The Yankees have the hit back-to-back here now. They've got a man on first and one man out in the seventh inning with Hector Lopez coming up. Lopez is 0-for-2 against Koufax. He has fly to center and fly to right. Lopez did a great job for Ralph Houk in the regulation campaign, filling in various spots when he was needed. Guarded around the American League as a fellow who is a tough hitter. Aronofsky throwing in the Dodger bullpen. Swinging a pop-up between home and first. Scourin is under it right near the line and makes the catch. It's a foul ball by a foot. Lopez fouling out the loose Scourin. Keeps Howard at third base. With two down. Here's Joe Pepitone. Joe has struck out twice. It's his left-hander. Go back. He swings a bounding ball to Scourin. He makes the play unassisted to return to side. Well, the Yankees get one run on two hits. There were no errors, one man left. And at the end of the first half of the seventh, the Yankees won, the Dodgers won. Well, the story of the World Series has been pitching, and one of the best has been Johnny Padres. The other day we asked Johnny, have you tried the new Gillette stainless blade? Here is his tape-recorded answer.
I certainly have. And right from the start, that Gillette stainless was everything I expected, and more. They really stand up, too. I'd hate to start to count the number of easy shaves I got with my first blade.
When a man takes his first stroke with a new Gillette stainless, he knows that shaving will be quicker, smoother, and lots easier for him from then on. And here's why. On stainless steel, on any steel, it's the edge that counts. And Gillette edges are the world's sharpest and easiest shaving. You get clean, fast shaves, and more of them per blade. Here's superb shaving satisfaction that continues blade after blade and dispenser after dispenser. Because each mirror-finished edge is an exact duplicate of the next. Now that's unmatched uniformity. A six-blade dispenser of the incomparable Gillette stainless blades is 89 cents, the lowest price per blade. Another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation, and what a battle this one's been. Jim Gilliam will lead off for the Dodgers in their half of the seventh inning. He has bunted into a double play, and he has bounced out the third. Of World Series pitchers, the veteran Whitey Ford on the mound for New York. And the pitch is a strike call. He got a fastball in above the knee. Ford delivers. Watch out. That ball almost hit him. He ducked away. 1-1, breaking in right at the peak. Game was scoreless until the fifth. Frank Howard hit a home run, and Mickey Mantle tied it with a Yankee home run here in the seventh. The Dodgers are batting in the last half of the seventh. There's a ground ball hit on a high up. The boy, he goes up, comes down with it, throw to first. Gilliam is headed for third. Capitol running the ball back into the infield. Gilliam on third. Jim Gilliam on third base, and it is an error charged to Joe Capitol, the Yankee first baseman. Boya made a leaping grab of a high-bounding ball and apparently made a good play to first base. But Pepitone lost it somewhere and got by him, went way back at first, and Gilliam was able to get to third.
Right, it'll be interesting to get the explanation, but it could be the background is where he lost it, because the throw was a strike. Boyer made a fine play, leaping as high as he did, threw it across, but Pepitone just didn't catch it.
Here's Willie Davis, the left-hand batting outfielder, to face Whitey Ford. The Yankees are pulling their infield into the inner grass, trying to cut down that man Gilliam on a ground ball, or keep him at third. Willie Davis is struck out and fouled out the catcher, Elston Howard. Now he steps away for a moment. It's a windup by Whitey. Here's the pitch. Davis cuts. There's a fly ball into fairly deep right center. Mantle is going over. He's under it. Makes the catch. Tagged by Gilliam. He's coming home. Here's a throw. Not in time, but obviously 2-1. A sacrifice fly for Willie Davis, scoring Gilliam from third after the catch. And the Dodgers go in front again, 2-1 over the Yankees. The error by Pepitone, the first one the Yankees have made in the series, but a costly one. Here's Tommy Davis, 0-2. The right-hand batter takes the ball, low and in close, from the left-hander, Whitey Ford. Two to one, the Dodgers lead in this fourth game of the World Series. Another NBC Radio Network exclusive sports presentation from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. The windup, the pitch on the way. He looks at the strike on the inside corner, 1-1 on Tommy. Tommy stands deep, waiting now. Whitey Ford double pumped on him. Here's a pitch. In too close. Two on the count. One man out. Nobody on. One run in, and the Dodgers have gone ahead again. 2-1. Davis asking Cropper, the umpire, to inspect the baseball that Whitey Ford's been using. Tommy almost signed with the Yankees, but scout Al Campanis talked him out of it at the last moment and got him for the Dodgers. There's a ball down low and in close, and it's a 3-1 count on Tommy Davis. Breaking stuff, breaking down in the dirt and toward the inside on Tommy. The Dodgers have two runs on two hits. The Yankees have one run on four hits. Here's the windup and the pitch. Cut on a bounding ball up the middle. Richardson to the right has it. Here's the throw to Pepitone in time. And Tommy Davis is out. Ran out from under his cap as he crossed first base. Here's a hand for Frank Howard.
the Dodger hitting hero in this game. A single right in the second, a long home run to left field in the fifth inning. 2-for-2 for Frank Howard. Interesting now to see what pitching pattern Whitey Ford gives him. The windup, the pitch, a fastball down low and inside. The first offering to Big Frank. Ball on the count on him. The Dodgers 2, the Yankees 1. Ford backing off the mound. Outfield way back. You can count on that. Here's a pitch. It's a ball outside.
It's a dangerous big guy, Ernie. You can pull him on a one pitch, but he's still got that bat back. He can hit that ball a long ways, half full. I've been getting him on a slow curveball, but he hit one today, boy, a mile.
So far this time, Whitey's given him two fastballs, one low inside, one low outside.
He's one of those guys from the pitcher's mound. You kind of hope he gets a long-distance call and may have to leave the batter's box.
That's right. You can just hold on.
Yeah, just hold on. Don't want to do nothing. May change his mind and go home.
Whitey takes his time. Now the windup by four. The pitch to Howard. Strike. He got that fastball on the outside corner. Throws that ball at that spot all day long, won't be hit too much. Just on the outside corner above the knees. Now the 2-1 delivery. Here it comes. It's a ball up too high. 3-1 on Frank Howard. Now this big guy from Ohio State. Rookie of the year in 1960. To work on a street gang in the summertime with the pick and the shovel, and you can tell it, boy, he's muscular. 3-1 the count on him. Dodgers ahead of the Yankees. 2-1 in the seventh inning. On the windup by Whitey Ford. Here it comes. He swings and misses. He took a big ripple on that one. 3-2 the count on him. About everybody in the ballpark knew he was going to take his cut. He hit 3-0 in the second inning and had a base hit.
Cooper Dett's got the great line. He says Howard belongs in another league, a higher one.
I mean, he came down. 3-2 the count on him. Jim Mantle backing up a little bit more out there. Here's a windup, the pitch to Howard. Ground ball wide at first. Pepitone has it. Ford will take the toss from Pepitone, and Howard is out to retire the side. The Dodgers got one run on no hits. There was one error, and nobody left on the base. And at the end of seven, the Dodgers 2 and the Yankees 1. Well, Tommy Davis has been the leading Dodger hitter throughout the series, and the other day, Ben Scully recorded Tommy's views after a game.
Tom, you keep in condition all year round. Does that go for your face, too?
You bet, Ben. And I do it very easy with a clean, refreshing Gillette shave.
Men by the millions agree with Tommy. How can you beat the refreshment of an all Gillette shave? And here's your opportunity to try it at the savings of 50 cents. Gillette's World Series Special, you get the slim adjustable razor with super blue blades, plus foamy instant lather shave cream, a $2.29 value for only $1.79. See how foamy super soaks your whiskers. Keeps them that way from first easy stroke to last. And what easy shaves you get with a slim adjustable razor. It has Gillette's exclusive blade-setting dial on the handle. You choose a number from 1 to 9 that suits your combination of skin and beard exactly. Remember, the slim adjustable razor with super blue blades plus foamy, regular or menthol, yours right now for only $1.79 as a Gillette World Series Special. You save 50 cents. Ron Fairley has gone to right field, replacing Frank Howard for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Yankees come to bat in the eighth inning, and the Dodgers lead 2-1. Fourth game of the 1963 World Series. Sandy Koufax trying for his second victory of the series. And he pitches a strike, a curveball over on Pete Boyer, leading off for New York in the eighth. Boyer has struck out and bounced into a force. Here it comes. A strike, another slow curve. Up the outside corner. Outfield a little bit to left on Fleet Boyer, the boy from Missouri. He takes a ball down low. 1-2 the count on Fleet. Fleet got his start with Kansas City, then came to the Yankees in 1959. Been with them ever since. He waits. Here it comes. Swing and a foul ball out of play. Back into the dirt. One ball, two strike count. The Dodgers, two runs, two hits. No errors. The Yankees, one run, four hits. They've made one error. Koufax into action. Delivers. Here's a foul ball upstairs out of play. 1-2 the count on Boyer. Cletus lives in Webb City, Missouri, and hails from that famous ball-playing Boyer family. Ken, Cloyd, and others. There's a ball up high, a fastball way up high. 2-2 the count on him. Sandy Koufax is slowing up on his pitching pace a little bit at this point. And his ninth year in organized baseball, all of them with this same club. Here's a pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Boyer goes down swinging. Well, we'll have a pinch hitter now. Bill Lenz is coming in to bat for Whitey Ford. L-I-N-Z, Bill Lenz will be batting for Whitey Ford. Boy from Baltimore. And a very valuable utility man for the Yankees this season. Right-handed batter to face Koufax. Here's the pitch. It's a curve in too close. Ball one, the count on Lenz. One out, nobody out. The Yankees have batted in the eighth inning. The Dodgers lead them 2-1. The windup, the pitch. He swings and misses. Took a big cut of that one, 1-1. Cut and a miss on a fastball, and it's 1-2 on Lenz now. NBC Radio beaming this one to you from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. Another exclusive sports presentation of NBC. Here's a high curve, and the count is even 2-2. The game was scoreless until the fifth. Frank Howard broke that scoreless tie with a home run. Mickey Mantle tied it for seventh. And then an error led to the scoring of the tie-breaking run by the Dodgers in the seventh. It's a line drive to left, the base hit, past the glove of Gilliam. Lenz will make a turn now and goes halfway to second and then comes on back to first base. A pinch single by Bill Lenz of the Yankees, batting for Whitey Ford. That is hit number five for New York of Sandy Koufax. And Tony Kubek, who has failed to hit, 0-for-3 for Tony, will face Sandy. Man on first. One away. Gilliam is in a little close at third base, but he's also got the Goddard line down there. Now the set by Sandy. The pitch to Kubek swung on as a foul ball out of play in a liner over third base. Didn't quite get the good wood on that one. Dodgers have two runs on two hits. The Yankees have one run, five hits, and one error. Center fielder Willie Davis pulled over to left center.
Well, the big gap is between center field and the right fielder, Ron Fairley. Set by Sandy Koufax. The left-handed pitches. Kubek swings a bounding ball to second base. Kaczewski makes the tag for the first double play. Kaczewski made the tag and the oncoming runner lands. Then through to first to double up Kubek and the side retired. No runs, one hit, no errors. And nobody left. And at the end of the first half of the eighth inning, the Dodgers 2 and the Yankees 1. Well, Elston Howard leads the Yankee hitting attack with two hits off Koufax. And Mel Allen recorded him the other day in the clubhouse while he was shaving. Listen.
By the way, Ellie, have you tried the new Gillette stainless blade?
I got one in my razor now, Mel, and I've been getting the slickest shaves of my life with it all week. Talk about comfort, there's nothing like it.
One man asks another, have you tried the new Gillette stainless blade? One man tells another, there's just nothing like them. Because on stainless steel, on any steel, it's the edge that counts. And true Gillette edges are the sharpest, easiest shaving in the world. You'll realize from your first stroke, your first shave, Gillette has given a brand new meaning to the phrase shaving comfort. Quick, clean shaves, refreshing shaves, and more of them per blade. And uniform, each blade is alike, each equally smooth shaving, an achievement unmatched by other makers' blades. A dispenser of six incomparable Gillette stainless blades costs just 89 cents, the lowest price per blade. We pause 30 seconds for station identification.
When you take a between-innings break while listening to the World Series, try a tall, ice-cold glass of Saratoga Vichy with a twist of lemon. It's the most satisfying, thirst-quenching drink known to man. The ladies will love it, too, because there's not a single calorie in Saratoga Vichy, just tangy, lively-tasting refreshment. Saratoga Vichy's extra dry taste and long-lasting carbonation make it the perfect mixer for your favorite spirits, too. Build yourself a long, tall drink now with sparkling Saratoga Vichy and ice. Then sit back and enjoy the World Series. Man, that's living. Always get Saratoga Vichy, the world's perfect mixer, at your store. Look for the bright yellow label. WGY, WGFM's Schenectady.
The ball game in favor of the center hitter, Phil Lynn. And Scourin of the Dodgers will be the first man to face him in the Los Angeles eighth inning. Renip, the boy from Ontario, California, was born in Warren, Ohio. And for the Yankees this year, 1-4 and lost 3. This will be his third appearance in the series. No one and lost record in series competition this year for Hal Rennett. Scarron takes a fastball up high, ball one. The Dodgers lead in this close one, 2-1 there at about in the eighth inning. The Dodgers trying to sweep this 1963 World Series in four straight. Now the pitch. Swung on, there's a fly ball to left field deep. Going back is Pesh on the warning track waiting. Makes the catch. Scarron flies deep to left fielder Tom Tresh, and there's one down. Bring up John Roseborough. Roseborough has bounced out first the pitcher who covered. He has struck out. Well, Ford pitched a good, solid game. He went seven innings. He gave up two runs on two hits, walked one, and struck out four. Outfield swung around deep to right on Roseborough. He hit the ground ball wide of the bag at first. Pepitone grabs it, tossed to Rennett, covering in time for the out. So there are two Dodgers out in their eighth inning. Nobody on, and Kaczewski, the second baseman who made a good play to start that double play in the first half of the eighth inning, gets a hand. With one on and one out of the eighth, Kubek hits the ball to Kaczewski, and he tagged the runner, Lins, coming down the line, and then was able to throw out the batter, Kubek. Rennett, ready to go. The pitch is on the way. It's up too high. Ball one on Kaczewski. A bounce out to shortstop for the flyout to center field, representing his efforts at the plate in this game. Here's the windup, the pitch on the way. It's a ball down low. 2-0 the count. Terrific pitching in this World Series of 1963. Now the motion, here's the pitch. He cuts as a line drive to center. Here comes Mammal. He's there. He makes the catch. And the side retired in order. And at the end of eight, the Dodgers 2 and the Yankees 1. Sandy Koufax has been the big guy for the Dodgers in the series so far, and he goes to the mound in the ninth inning to see what he can do. Sandy is a handsome guy. He's always well-groomed. He's been an all-Gillette man since he started shaving. As Sandy says, you just can't touch a Gillette shave for speed and comfort. There's nothing like it. Right now, you can get everything you need for clean, refreshing all-Gillette shaves and save 50 cents, too. It's the Gillette World Series Special, which includes the Gillette Slim Adjustable Razor, Super Blue Blades, plus foamy Instant Lather Shave Cream, regular or menthol. It's a $2.29 value for only $1.79. And what a shave you get with the Slim Adjustable. It's the razor with the exclusive 9-position micrometer dial. You select the blade setting that's just right for your skin and beard. And count on Gillette Foamy to super soak your beard from first easy stroke to last. Get the works as a Gillette World Series Special. Slim Adjustable Razor, Super Blue Blades, and Foamy for only $1.79. You save 50 cents. Well, hang on now. Here's the ninth inning of the fourth game of the 1963 World Series. Brought to you by NBC Radio. And Bobby Richardson leading off for the Yankees in the ninth inning. The Dodgers ahead 2-1. Koufax can get him out. The world's title belongs to Los Angeles. As they ball down low. Richardson has fouled the catcher Roseborough, had a pop fly double in the fourth inning, and bounced out to Wills at short in the sixth. The pitch, he swings and misses on a fastball, 1-1. The windup, the pitch, it's up too high, 2-1. Dodgers lead the Yankees 2-1 in the ninth inning. Here it comes. He swings a fly ball into right center field. It'll drop in for a base hit by Bobby Richardson. He's on with a leadoff single in the Yankee ninth inning. The Yankees give him the battle here. Facing a situation in which they had put many other teams throughout World Series history. And they're on the other side of the fence now. The Yankees trying to battle their way back. Trailing by three games and trailing in the fourth game 2-1. Here's Tom Tresh. 0-3 for Tom this afternoon against Koufax. Batting right-handed. Man on first, Bobby Richardson. Gilliam in close at third base. He starts to bunt at the ball. I believe it's ruled a ball. Yep. Ball one. It's in tight. He held off. Ball one on Tresh. Scourin charging from first base. Gilliam charging in from third. Dodgers ahead, 2-1 in the ninth inning. Set by the Dodger left-hander. Now the pitch. He swings and misses. Well, they didn't have the bunt sign on that time. He took his full cut. 1-1 to count on Tom Tresh. Central tying run at first base, and Bobby Richardson here in the Yankee ninth inning. Nobody out. Koufax checking his sign with Roseborough. Now sets, now pitches. There's a bunt attempt. It's a foul ball back of the plate. One ball and two strikes. So Richardson moving, has to go on back to first base now. Dodgers scored on a home run by Frank Howard in the fifth. Mantle tied up a home run in the seventh inning. Joe Pepitone, error allowed Gilliam to reach third in the seventh. He scored on a sacrifice fly by Willie Davis. That's the story so far. 2-1, Dodgers lead in the ninth inning. The pitch. Trash takes a ball in close. A curveball dipping in. 2-2 the count. Peranowski throwing in the bullpen for the Dodgers. Scourin holding on the bag with Bobby Richardson over there at first base. And Kovacs blowing up a little bit on his pitching pace here in this ninth inning. Already, he pitches. Here's a curve across. It's the seventh strikeout for Kovacs, and it tires the World Series record of 22 set by Hal Newhouser of Detroit for seven-game series in 1945. And Sandy had fanned 15 his first time out. Right now, though, Sandy is thinking about the man at the plate, Mickey Mantle. One on and one out. The Dodgers lead by one run, 2-1. Mantle fouls it off on the screen. Strike one on Mickey. Roseborough trotting out to talk with his pitcher. Mantle fly to right in the second. He bounced to short in the fourth and then hit a home run in the seventh. Fab goes on between the Dodger pitcher, Kovac, and the catcher, Roseborough. Richardson trying to get a little bit of an edge off of first base. Out of the set. And the throw goes over to first to keep him honest over that way. Dodgers lead the Yanks 2-1, ninth inning, one on and one out. Mantle the batter. Outfield deep to left. He swings and misses. Strike two. Mickey steps out of the batter's box for a moment. What a battle of nerves this is right here in the ninth. Kovac needs two outs to get the World's Championship in four straight games for the Dodgers. As they throw the cross, and this big crowd, a standing ovation for Kovac for setting the new World Series strikeout record. The batter with two out of the ninth inning. He swings a ground ball to deep shortstop. Murray Wills goes to second. It's all. Wait a minute. They dropped the ball. They had it. Called him out. And then the ball was dropped. The ball was dropped by Trzaski at second base. Gorman had called out the runner at second on what would have been a force out to end the ball game. But Trzaski dropped the ball and then Gorman changed his sign to safe. It'll be an error charged to Trzaski here in the ninth inning to keep the Yankees alive. Howard is safe at first base. Bobby Richardson is safe at second. And now it's all between Kovac and Hector Lopez. An error charged to Trzaski, the second baseman, but dropping the throw from Murray Wills, the shortstop, on the fourth play. It's a tap, back past the mound to Murray Wills. He grabs it, throw to first. It's all over the Dodgers' inning. The Dodgers in the ninth inning, no run for the Yankees on one hit, one error, and two runners are left on base. And the final score, the Dodgers 2 and the Yankees 1.
And hats off to a great job of calling the pitches in the World Series by Dodger catcher John Roseborough. We tape recorded a chat that Ben Scully had with John. Here it is.
Tell me, John, have you tried the new Gillette stainless blade?
You bet I have, Ben. And I still find it hard to believe any blade could give you such a comfortable shave. So many of them, too. The Gillette stainless is really tops.
That, in effect, is what men are saying about the new Gillette stainless blade. Because on any steel, it's the edge that counts. And Gillette has the sharpest, easiest shaving edges in the world. One blade will prove to you what these superb mirror finish edges on long-lasting stainless steel can mean in comfort and convenience. The first shave, smooth, easy, almost beyond belief, with more just like it in every blade. But beyond that, blade after blade, you'll find unequal uniformity. Get the dispenser of six incomparable Gillette stainless blades for 89 cents, the lowest price per blade. Well, the Los Angeles Dodgers are the world's champions of baseball as they have swept the 1963 World Series in four straight games. In the final game, the Dodgers had two runs on two hits and one error. The Yankees had one run on six hits, and they made one error. An error by Joe Pepitone, allowing Gilliam to reach third base, leading off in the seventh inning, was the big play of the ball game. Gilliam was able to score on a sacrifice fly off the bat of Willie Davis. The earlier scoring had seen Frank Howard hit a home run for the Dodgers' first score in the fifth inning of starter Whitey Ford, and then Mickey Mantle had tied it in the seventh for New York with his 15th home run in World Series history. And with the game tied 1-1, Gilliam hit a bounding ball to Boya at third base, who threw to Pepitone. The ball got by Joe, and by the time he chased it down, Gilliam reached third. Then he scored when the next batter, Davis, lifted a fly ball to center field to Mickey Mantle. Gilliam coming across after the catch, and that was the winning run of the World Series. Now to Vince Scully in the Dodger locker room.
Scully and some of the victorious Dodgers. Take over, Ben.
Dodger Stadium is 2 years old, and today the Dodgers did something that has never happened in history. They won four in a row from the New York Yankees. Sandy, you're sipping champagne, and the first thing, of course, to ask you is, how in the world did you decide to slow curveballs to Mantle with the count 0-2?
I just felt like it. I don't know why, Benny. John called it and put down two for the curveball. After he put it down, I saw him wiggle it a little. I said, change curve. I said, okay, Gabby.
Well, now, he hit a fastball high and away for a home run, and yet you gave him two.
No, it was down low. It was about belt high, and I thought in the middle of the plate. I tried to get it in, and I cut it out over the plate a little bit, and he hit it good. Boy, he hit it a ton.
The commissioner of baseball, Ford Frank.
Congratulations. That was a terrific exhibition.
Sandy, 1 minute you thought you had it won on the play at second. Krasuski dropped the ball. That must have really broken your heart for that split second.
Well, now we got a runner in scoring position, and didn't make me feel too good. And then the slow hit ball, Maury, make a play somewhere.
How would you compare your stuff today as in the first game?
Well, it's just a reversal today. I thought I had a better fastball than I did in the first game and not as good a curveball.
You were more of a consistently good pitcher, though, today than you were the other day when you were brilliant for four innings and then had some trouble.
Well, I felt a little bit more tired the last time. You know, I had broken up my routine and hadn't pitched in a week. And this time I got back into a regular routine and I felt like I held my stuff better.
I understand you had a corn removed from your left foot before the game or a couple of days ago. Did it bother you?
No, it wasn't a corn. I had a, what they call an ulcer between the toes, and in the seventh inning of the first game, it tore out, and it was bleeding, so before the game, they gave me a shot of Novocaine. I didn't feel a thing.
Congratulations, and of course, everybody in the baseball world thrilled over what you've done.
Thank you very much, Vinny.
Commissioner, the World Series is 60 years old, and you really had yourself a show.
In many ways, Ben, I think this is probably the greatest World Series ever played. I have never
seen such consistently fine pitching. And, of course, from a National League standpoint, it's terrific because I guess this is the first time in all history that the Yankees have ever been taken for four straight games.
Yes, I think that would be something remembered. And there's a big man on my right.
I just saw him, Don. Again, good luck to you.
Don Drysdale, his great game yesterday was a big one. Don, how did it feel watching today?
Well, I'll tell you, it was just great. I got a little nervous there in that last inning with those big guys coming up, but boy, I'll tell you, Sandy was great, just great.
That's really something to throw that slow curveball to Mantle 0-2.
Oh, well, it was in a great spot, down low and in, and Mickey took it all away.
Congratulations, Don. That 1-0 victory is of yours, of course, one of the big four.
Thank you very much, Vinny. Thank you.
Mr. Warren Giles, the president of the National League.
It was wonderful. Great. Wonderful.
I guess in the history of the league, you couldn't have more rejoicing than the fact that
couldn't.
They knocked off the Yankees.
Let me congratulate Buzzy here just a minute.
E.J. Bavese, vice president of the Dodgers, you've waited a long time for this day.
Very long, very long. Great day.
How did you feel about watching the ball club today? Did they play up to your expectations?
Well, they played this way all year. We'd have won by 30.
I guess that sums it up, Mr. Giles.
Well, I tell you, this great victory couldn't have gone to a more deserving organization. And this beautiful stadium out here, I tell you, I'm glad the people around the world could see it. It's a tremendous thing. Great for baseball. It's wonderful for the National League.
Thank you, sir, very much. Mr. Giles, E.J. Bavese, congratulations.
Thank you, Vinny. Congratulations.
Now we'll take a look at some of the boys who had a lot to do with the victory. And first of all, we go to the head man, number 24, Walter Alston. The name Walter Alston is now in the record books with John McGraw, but you did something even McGraw couldn't do. You whipped the Yankees four straight.
Well, Benny, that's great. I didn't think it, you know, if he said we could win in seven, I'd have been satisfied, but that's a great ball club over there. They got a lot of power, and they got some good pitching, and it took a lot of good playing on our fellow's part to go ahead and take four straight, and I'm proud of these boys from the very top.
You had Perunowski and Miller available in the bullpen. Did you ever even have a thought of going out to the mound?
No, I had no intention of going out. I just had him ready in case Andy was getting a little tired. He showed no indications of getting tired, did he?
Walter, congratulations.
Thank you, Vinny.
Bill Scourin, the Moose has come back. And, Mooser, I guess this would rank with one of your big thrills.
It's probably the biggest thrill of my life, to play with the Dodgers. And, well, we beat the Yankees four in a row, and I've got a lot of close friends over there, Vince. It's a big thing for me, especially getting traded to the Dodgers. They got a wonderful organization. I love them. I just hope I'd be back with them next year.
Playing first base at Dodger Stadium, that meant you were only about 50 feet from the Yankee dugout. Did the boys talk to you at all today?
Yogi and I have been very close friends, and we were talking about the field and about the plane back home and stuff like that. They've been great to me, Vince.
Did they holler to you on those pop flies?
Yes, they did.
I bet they did.
They know I'm not too good at catching Papa.
Moose, I would think that with your five hits and a great series that you'll remember this one a long time.
Yes, I will, Vince.
Congratulations to you, Bill Scourin.
Thank you.
Ron Perunowski, we thought we'd see a lot of you, but you wound up just appearing briefly and only one.
Well, no, lucky to get in that one. Johnny got all tired and said to come on in, so I wouldn't have sat there the whole four games.
I understand you suggested they should bring your golf clubs out of the bullpen.
Well, I have to practice chipping now.
Ron, when you were watching in the bullpen, can you tell whether Koufax is good stuff or not from out there?
Yeah, we can tell just about from the first inning on. When they're not fouling the ball off in that first thing, we know he's throwing real hard, and then he comes with that curveball later on. You know, that loosens up, and he has a heck of a good time.
Well, it's about time you had a day off. It's been a long and wonderful year for you.
Well, then you have to get ready for next spring now.
Right. Congratulations, Ron Perunowski. Well, we have the big man right back. I mean, Frank Howard. Frank, he hit two balls in the series, one for a double, 460 feet, and the other one in the second deck. Congratulations.
Thank you, Vinny. It's, I can't say enough for our ball club. I think that the guys busted themselves all year long, and I think they deserve a lot of credit, along with the Dodge organization. I don't like to blow our own horn, Vinny, but I think the personnel in the Dodge organization, front office, and playing-wise are probably as fine as there is in baseball. So I think that we deserve what we got. We worked hard for it this year, and I hope we can continue to have as much success in, you know, future years.
Frank, in the booth, it looked like you had hit an off-speed curve up and in.
No, actually, when I looked that way, the ball was away from me, Vinny, out over the plate, but I was looking all the way, and I went out and got it, and that would might look like it was in on me, but I went out and got it, you know, and jerked it.
Did you feel it was gone as soon as you hit it?
Well, I thought I had a chance, but it was hit pretty good and right inside the left field foul line, so, it had a pretty good chance of going.
And it went to second deck. Congratulations,
Frank. Thank you, Benny.
Vice President Fresco Thompson, along with left fielder Tommy Davis. And right back, Willie Davis. Fresco, congratulations.
Ben, this is terrific. I've had some great thrills with the Dodgers. In 41 years, this has to be the top.
You sound like...
did a great job.
You sound like you weren't quiet.
I'm a little double dirty right now, Ben.
Congratulations. Tommy and Willie Davis. And first of all, Tommy, you had yourself 5 base hits in the World Series. No, you had 6 base hits going into today's game. It was a great series. Congratulations.
Oh, we have great pitching, don't we, Ben?
Great pitch. Remarkable.
I'd like to say this, man. So I wish my mother-in-law, who passed away last week, could have been here. And I want to say to my in-law, this is for sister.
Thank you, Tommy. Sister. Congratulations. Willie Davis, let's hear that big baritone or bass.
Yeah.
Tell me all about it, Willie. That was quite a series.
You know, Vinny, it was. We went to New York, and we wanted to win. You know, we really wanted to win, and we didn't want to go back to New York, so we had to pull it out today.
On that ball that Richardson hit, did you lose that in the sun?
Well, I saw it when he first hit it, but I was telling him that I couldn't see the ball, and actually they thought I was telling him that I could see it. But the ball got in the sun and stayed right in that path, and I couldn't see it. I couldn't get it.
However, it didn't make too much difference to Koufax. He got the next 2 men. And
right, I'm glad he did that.
Congratulations, Willie.
Thank you very much.
Another Dodger pitcher, number 22, Johnny Padres.
Benny, they sure saw a great pitcher out there. They didn't say he was just great. He's just fantastic. He's the greatest I've ever seen. One thing about it, we beat the greatest Yankee club ever.
Johnny, tell me, is it a bigger thrill to beat the Yankees 4 in a row, or is it a bigger thrill when you won that 55 championship?
I think beating the Yankees 4 in a row is a bigger thrill to me, because to me they're a real great ball club, and we've just got a great ball club, too. We've proven in the World Series.
Stay here a minute and talk to Maury Wills. Maury, along with Dick Krasuski, why don't the double play combination interview each other? First of all, you go to the hole, backhand the ball, throw to second. The runner's out. Dick drops the ball. You tell us what happened.
Well, the ball took. It didn't take a true hop, and it hit me right on the meat hand, on my bare hand, and it just didn't take a true hop. I was surprised, really, when Gorman called him out. You know, because I heard Richardson slide before I actually went for the ball.
What are you doing, throwing sinkers to your second baseman?
No.
Good throw.
Well, actually, Vince, I threw the ball with all 5 fingers. I didn't get a real good jump. A grip on it. I couldn't take time to do that. So I just flipped it, and I think Dick made a tremendous effort to catch it. And you notice on the other play where he dove after the ball and then went back to the bag. I thought Dick had a great series, Benny.
He sure did. We're all happy. 10 years in the minor leagues and go all the way in a 4-game series.
Really, really a great thrill. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
And, of course, we'll be looking forward to seeing double fours next year, Dick.
Oh, I hope so.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Benny.
Maury, you saw some great pitching. Whitey Ford gave you a pretty bad time.
Well, everybody gave me a bad time, man. I didn't show what I was capable of showing, but we won, and it's a team effort, and that's the most important thing. I bet you don't mind, I'd like to say hello to my kids all watching now. It's 2 minutes to call over my name. But...
all right, fine, boy. Now that you've done it.
I'm very commercial now, you know.
Congratulations, Maury Wills and Dick Krasuski.
Hello, Redhead.
What do you say?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Vinny.
Johnny Roseborough said to you after catching that fly ball yesterday, don't do that again.
Oh, it scared me. It scared me, I'll tell you.
Congratulations, Rob.
Thank you very much.
Well, that about does it from this scene here at the Dodger dressing room. The pouring champagne off to my left all over Dick Krasuski. And friends, I hope you've enjoyed hearing from these very happy Los Angeles Dodgers.
Well, thank you, Vin Scully. The Dodgers are the world's champions of baseball for 1963. The World Series is now history. This broadcast authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. Any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. Our NBC engineer today, John Pollock. Our NBC producer, Hal Ashby. The 1963 World Series is over, but don't forget that Gillette and Chrysler Corporation will also bring you the Blue-Gray football game and the 1964 Rose Bowl game exclusively over the NBC Radio Network. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.